Do we have our people here?
Yes, Nia's on her way. And should be here in about 5 minutes or so.
Yes, well, thank you.
He signed up, he said he didn't know if y'all would have any questions, but he signed up.
Won't you have any of them want to speak?
I did. Yes.
Talking.
Yes. I know, yeah, and we kept just looking through with that. And David and Valerie.
Now, you don't wait on her?
No, no, she said don't wait.
Okay.
Sent her a note the other day.
Yeah.
Check on my messenger.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Good.
But yeah, I think she's okay, I think she's.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we could.
I think she's got David and Valerie.
Take a seat and begin our business here this morning. For the record, my name is Chuck Banks, I'm chairman of the commission, and Ms. Jenkins, we have the technology in place. I want to remind you that I think I'm the worst offender of the group that because of the technology, they want us to be sure we've got our microphone on when we're speaking and off when we're not, so the transcription picks up and the video picks up on full dialogue. Any other questions that we've got by way of technology? Do we have the other commissioners here by phone?
We do. Jan Zimmerman and Tommy May.
Then please, Ms. Jenkins, if you would, just call the roll of the commission.
Nathan Evers.
Present.
Tommy May.
Here.
Justice Tuck.
Here.
Philip Fletcher.
Yes.
Joanne Rogers, or Jonathan Rogers, sorry.
Present.
Jane Zimmerman.
Here.
Chuck Banks is here, and there is a quorum, and I'll call the meeting now officially to order. Would you take just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, and read the minutes of the July 25th, 2019 meeting of this commission? I'll inquire whether or not there are any additions or corrections to the minutes. And I'll entertain a motion, please, that we approve.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
So moved. Annabelle.
Thank you. That motion carried by unanimous vote. Now, does anybody have any questions or comments from our last meeting arisen that we need to discuss at this point? But otherwise, I'm going to ask that we go right into our business on the agenda. I assume everybody got a copy of today's agenda, had an opportunity to understand what we're doing and the process. All right. By the way, so you'll understand, I'm not trying to in any way denigrate what we're doing and the importance of our service on this commission, but it is going to be a lot less formal than, let's say, a jury trial with courts that involve here. So if when any of these ladies or gentlemen care to discuss with us, I'm going to give each and every one of them an opportunity to come and say once again what their position is and any information they think we should have. And when that process is going on, we don't want to cross-examine, but at the same time, feel free to make comments or ask questions, and I think they'll be more than happy. It is an information session and a dialogue that's going to go on. Is that fair enough with everyone?
Yes.
All right. First item on the agenda is salary adjustments and discussion for consideration of salary adjustments. The first entity and group on there is prosecuting attorney, and I believe Bob, you're here. Come on down closer to it. We I don't think I can reach you, so that's why you won't, have to worry about me squeezing on your arm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob McMahon, I'm the prosecutor coordinator, and I'm representing the Arkansas Prosecuting Attorneys Association. I signed up to speak just to kind of summarize briefly. I submitted a letter at your last meeting. At the very end of the meeting, we briefly talked about that, but I know that's kind of the first time this commission, other than Chairman Banks, has heard that, so I thought I'd go ahead and explain that again and make a little sense. With our proposal, actually is staying. We're not here making a specific proposal for a particular percentage or anything like that. We are perfectly fine with whatever decision is made by the commission and applying that to prosecutors as well as we do to judges. But one of the things I wanted to point out that I tried to do in my letter, there are 28 elected prosecutors in Arkansas, and 25 of them are considered Division A. And by statute, they are prohibited from having a private practice. So you'll have 25, which again is way the majority of our elected prosecutors. And then three of our prosecutors by statute are considered Division B, which allows them to have a private practice. We don't necessarily consider them part-time, you know, because if there's a, you know, a high-profile case or something in the middle of the night, they're gonna get contacted just like anybody else. But the statute specifically separates them between Division A and Division B. There is a statute that the legislature sets for each specific judicial district. So it's not one statute, each district has their own statute which designates them either an A or B. So that's the distinction there, and I'll be happy to answer your questions about that. Where that's important for you all's decision is when the presentation was done back in 2015. Initially, the commission heard the salaries of all constitutional officers, and the prosecutors were left out. And that was a mistake that the legislature acknowledged. They simply overlooked that. So in 2015, they passed Act 559, which brought the prosecutors on board under the jurisdiction of the commission to set that salary. So you all started meeting in April of 2015 and then made the decision to incorporate the prosecutors in pursuant to that law and to set a specific salary for the prosecutors. And what the commission had decided at the time, the prosecutors came in, it was Mr. Larry Jagley, the prosecutor here in Little Rock, and Daniel Hsu, the prosecutor in Sebastian County, came and represented our association, gave a detailed description and report about the responsibilities of prosecutors and things like that. The commission also had before them a study by the Bureau of Legislative Research that took into consideration about 7 or 8 surrounding states to Arkansas and what those particular states paid both their judges and their prosecutors. And one of the factors that study showed and our research showed was that a lot of states tied the elected prosecutor's salary, and again, we're just talking about the electeds, not deputies at all. The elected prosecutor's salaries were tied into circuit judge salaries in some way. Some made it exactly the same, some states were 98%, some were like by law $1,000 off, things like that. But what this commission decided at that time was to follow those factors and set the prosecutor's salaries at a percentage of what the circuit judges were making. And the decision was made for Division A prosecutors to make their salaries 95% of what our current circuit judges were making, you know, at that time. And then our Division B would be 85% of what the Division A were making. So I wanted to point that out. So my purpose with being here is to say, so when you all decide a percentage for the circuit judges, we would just ask that you maintain, you know, the rules and things that were set by the commission as to how to set that for prosecutors. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. I hope that briefly summarizes where I'm coming from.
It does. How about questions from any of the commissioners? You were brief, and I appreciate that, but there might be a question too.
I have a question, Mr. May.
Yes.
Would you repeat the indexing that you got for the elected prosecutors to what judges?
He wants to know.
The 95%.
95%. Yeah.
Since the Division A prosecutors are prohibited from having a private practice, they obviously make more of a salary than the Division B. The first focus was to decide what percentage Division A would make towards circuit judges. And once that decision was made at 95%, I think the commission looked at what current Division B prosecutors were making compared to Division A and pretty much just kept that consistent. I don't think there was a lot of discussion on setting the Division B salaries. I think most of the conversation, I believe Mr. Baines went to deciding what the full-time elected prosecutors were making. So I hope Mr. May, that answered the question, but that's how that percentage was set. Since Division B spends, technically, they have the opportunity to have a private practice, then they would apparently not devote as much time, you know, to being a prosecutor, so their salary was set at less.
And I do understand that. I guess I was asking, is indexed to what circuit judges, or what was he indexed to the 95% of what?
Yes, sir. It was circuit judges only.
Okay.
In circuit judges in the state of Arkansas at the time in 2015.
Thank you.
Going back, I think you mentioned that Division B was 85% of Division A.
I believe that was the correct percentage.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure I got that correct.
Yes, ma'am, I think that was correct. And I could go back and look at those the numbers that were originally set and double check that math, but I believe it was 85% of the Division A. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I make a comment? I want to be sure that my recollection is correct. The percentages are accurate as to both A and B. Because the legislature didn't include clearly constitutional officers of all prosecuting attorneys that are duly elected in the state, in the first discussions, we came back, or they came back and amended that, and then we went back to the issue. The accommodation of 95% of a circuit judge's salary back at that point in time, if I understand this correctly, was not considered to be permanent in nature, or that you did less than a circuit judge. I don't remember why the 95% came, other than let's move on. I don't remember.
Chairman Banks, I don't remember a specific discussion either in terms of how that was picked. I think it must have been at some point, looking back, I know a lot of research was done by the Bureau and our association to go back, I think, into the mid-70s. And the percentages kind of fluctuated depending on which group went to the legislature to get an increase in salary. But I think that decision was made, again, taking into consideration what other states had done. Now, I will tell you there was discussion back then about making it exactly the same. There was discussion about making it within $1,000. I mean, I think the commission took every possible scenario that the other states had done. And again, some were tied to percentages, some made it 100%. I do think it was that it was something that would be revisited. I think you're correct there. I believe that the past commission talked about that, and it was something that was obviously always open on the table. The reason that ends up being important, though, in order to maintain that percentage, it may require sometimes if let's say a 3% salary was awarded to circuit judges, that, you know, a little bit higher salary would have to be awarded to the prosecutors to maintain that 95% or that 85%. It's not a big difference, but in time, if you're trying to maintain the 95 and the 85, a 3%, I think y'all understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not, maybe not doing a good job of explaining it, but
no,
in time, when you think of that, you know, you'll lose that percentage if you don't.
Well, it is implied. I'm sorry, go ahead. No. It's implied in your comments on behalf of the Prosecuting Attorneys Association that if this commission does make a decision to make an increase by any percent, 95% of whatever that percentage would be would leave you short and not being paid the same as the circuit judge.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
All right, that's what I wanted to make sure I understood. Any other questions? Anybody else here with prosecuting attorneys that wishes to be heard?
I'm here. I'm Kyle Hunter. I'm the president of our association now, because Bob's explained it well, I think, and I don't have anything to add.
Thank you for being here, Kyle. It's nice to see you here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other questions? You're free to stand
down.
Thank
you, Sheriff. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's self-evident that we are not permitted to have dialogue outside the arena. So anybody that's got questions or comments, we can either take it now or listen to what the rest of it. I think it's on the agenda. We can do either. We can wait until we have the discussions from the other groups and then go into overall discussion. In fact, that's what this agenda shows.
Yeah. So let's do it that way.
Let's do that. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Consideration for salary adjustment for justices and judges. So let's go with our Supreme Court official first. Is that fair? Chief Justice, nice to see you this morning. Yeah,
Chairman Banks, good to see you. Got the commissioners. Morning.
I don't have any really requests to make any statement other than just to provide you additional information from the initial request that I made on behalf of the court. The Arkansas Judicial Council submitted a request for a 3% cost of living increase. Judge John Fogelman, as president of the Judicial Council, submitted that request. Supreme Court Justice is joining that request. And as I mentioned by a letter I think I submitted back in May, requested an additional supplement of $5,000 for associate justices. I had a salary wheel that I provided to the commission at that time. That has since been updated. I believe that's provided with the handout, which currently indicates that Arkansas, as a court, Supreme Court as a court of last resort, is now like 30th in the nation in salary of all courts of last resort. So I think that's the change that's reflected from the initial proposal that I made. I just request adoption of that proposal by the commission.
Yes. Chief, in this is Annabelle Embertuck. In reading the wheel, I want to be sure I've got this right. As a matter of fact, that's what I was trying to interpret when we were starting the meeting. If I read this correctly, compared to what was used in the earlier wheel, we have the Supreme Court as 30. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm talking about associate justices.
Yes,
associate justices. And then 20 is the appellate court, the intermediate appellate court, right?
Yes.
And 21 is the trial bench.
Correct, yes.
Okay, and that's, I just wanted to be sure I was reading the highlight, because it's hard with a photocopy sometimes to see the detail. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Chief Justice, what were we, refresh my memory, what we were prior to this coming out for court of last resort?
Prior to that, it was 26 was the rank, and the previous salary tracker from a year ago.
Thank you.
What is the salary now? I should know that. But.
The salary now is 174,924.
Thank you. Does everybody have a copy of that list? And so each one of these groups, everybody got that?
Yes.
Which list?
List of the salaries of each group.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else, Chief, that's here that wishes to speak? You have information? Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you
coming in.
Yes.
Nice to see you. Any discussions of in addition to what we've already heard for the judges, the circuit judges? The letter reflects what you want, what you're asking us to consider. The same as two district judges?
Yes, sir.
Any other constitutional officers? Been, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, there's been no communication, as of Ms. Jenkins, from anyone asking that we consider it. It is our duty, if this commission feels necessary, that to consider any salary adjustment that would take place on any constitutional officer, including members of the General Assembly. We've had no communication from anybody in the General Assembly, is that correct, Ms. Jenkins? All right, at this point, there is no mandate that we reach a resolution today, but there's no mandate that we do not. I think it's incumbent upon us to have a general discussion if this commission is ready to discuss in the same orders which these ladies and gentlemen have appeared here today. So the floor is open for anybody by phone or otherwise.
There was an article in the, this is Tommy May, I'm sorry. There was an article in the paper a couple weeks ago or so about salary adjustments for state employees. I'm assuming those are all outside of our realm of responsibility, or did I read that wrong?
No, that's what I understand, that you read it correctly. In so fact, there's two.
Those are decided by whom?
Well, I assume that was decided by the governor. Isn't that correct? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm totally accurate on that. We also have, if you recall, Tommy, that Dr. Shelnut presented his proof, he was asked directly about the COLA or salary increases, what percent it was as it related to state employees. And his testimony was 2.4%, unless there was a merit raise, which was not ordinary. So the record reflects it's 2.4% for all other state employees. And if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, one of you please correct me as to what the record reflects.
Probably
that's what I read. That's too much.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments for this group of prosecuting attorneys?
I guess my question will be, is it do we all want to agree to keep it at 95%, or is that something that we would all want to change to where it was within $1,000, or is it more difficult to keep it at a percentage since you're giving percentage raises and so on and so forth, or just keep doing it like it's been set before now?
Well, I'm speak for myself rather than the commission. Does anybody else have an opinion or a feeling or a point they want to make on that?
On behalf of myself, I think using the percentages is a little easier than I'm running too. the percentages would be easier because if you're just using 1,000, it could be a less of a percentage. You know, it wouldn't really tie with the other classifications. And because 1,000 is a certain percentage of one amount and a different percentage of another amount. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Okay, I think I agree with that. I just wanted to be sure we address that.
I think it's a point well taken. I individually, as a member of the commission, agree that the prosecutors should receive 100% of any COLA increase. In other words, they won't get caught up if we do that. They need to get 100% of whatever the percent is that this commission, if any percent, suggests or approves and votes on.
This is Nate Evers. It would seem to me that if we're going to tie the prosecuting attorneys to a percentage of the circuit court judges, we need to make a decision about circuit judge salary first and what that's going to be, and then that will automatically keep us at 95% if that's where we're going to stay. Mm-hmm. So we actually need to determine the circuit judge salary increase first.
I don't have any problem with that. Anybody else?
What was the last increase. Apparently I'm missing the document, but what was the last increase for the circuit judges? And when was that?
Speaking out of my recollection, it was the last year of our first term in the commission, so that was 2016 or 17. When was it? When did the one folks that here, the circuit judges? It's been in effect for about 3 years, as I understand it. Hold on. I'm going to get you the...
This is the resolution that we did last
year. Okay. I'm sorry, I was off. The resolution was adopted and voted upon and sent to the auditor of the state for the new circuit judge, I mean, for the circuit judges to receive a new salary on May 16th, 2018. And that salary was $168,096.
And that's an increase from previous year?
No, that was an increase from, they had not received, the judges had not received either a COLA or a salary increase for 10 years prior to May the 18th. And the point was of the amount of this salary was based upon a variety of factors, including overall economic conditions of the state, where the circuit judges had been, and what had been transpired in the intervening years. So they were caught up. This is what this salary was considered as we're bringing them current with where they should be.
So if that was May 16, 2018, and that was sort of a well, it's the only adjustment that was made for a period of, did I hear you say 10 years?
That's correct. Does anybody remember differently than that period of time?
Chairman Banks, I believe that adjustment that you're referring to was made the first commission.
Right.
And there has been one cost of living increase for trial and appellate judges since then. Now, I'm not sure if it was 1 year after that or 2 years after that.
So 2015 and then...
It was 15. The initial one was in 15.
And then you've had two since...
Nothing in 16. And it was in 17, it was 2%, 18, 3%. For the judges.
That's right. Those were COLA increases. Those were not salary increases. What I'm talking about is the base salary was raised is of some significance to bring the circuit judges current with what all the factors were in front of the commission to bring them equal where they should be in the commission's opinion.
Yes, correct.
So that's why it was a relatively, for lack of a better term, a substantial increase to bring them current what they should have had 10 years earlier. Okay? Now the COLAs did come, that two COLAs, but that's just the cost of living increases. Not just a cost, but that is a cost of living increase, to which they should have been entitled the previous 10 years. They weren't being paid consistently as they should have been paid, as well as not receiving COLA increases.
So how did they come up with the, tell me back again, I'm sorry. How did they come up with their number of 3% on COLA? Or did you say 3% was merit?
I think at the time it was not considered merit. I don't mean to be jumping in front of other commissioners here. I just want to see if we can get the dialogue correctly here. I think the whole issue is for the circuit judges is whether or not we grant or deny them a 3% increase, which is what they're asking for as a cost of living increase consistent with other state employees, or 2.4% as the testimony has been that the cost of living increases for other state employees is 2.4, not 3. Am I unfairly stating that, ladies and gentlemen, anybody's correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I guess my only other question would be, has the other state employees had a cost of living adjustment in the time, between the time since they had a cost of living adjustment and today?
That's my understanding that they have. I don't know that factually, but I think the testimony then they have.
So they've had 2.4% plus, you're saying no?
The agencies were given 2.4% more money this fiscal year to grant performance-based raises. The state doesn't have cost of living increases for regular state employees. They changed the pay plan.
Okay, I didn't know that. So to understand this to mean they got what I would keep referring to, got COLA, but you didn't get a salary.
You're not guaranteed, if you're a state employee, you're not guaranteed a merit raise.
Right. I did understand that.
Okay.
I see people leaning out hard down there. Does someone need to speak?
I might be able to help with that. I mean, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
I guess I'm wearing my other hat now as a small agency director. Mr. Wickline is correct that 2.4% of the budget was given to agencies to use to determine merit increases for their employees. So some employees got more than 2.4%, some would have got less than 2.4%, but you had 2.4% of your agency budget to determine how to award merit increases. And again, if you scored somebody at one level, he or she had to have the same merit that the other person scored in the same category. And so in other words, you scored them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all threes received the same percentage, all fours received the same percentage, all fives received the same percentage, but you were limited into 2.4% of your agency budget to use. And he's correct also, they did not call that COLA or cost of living increase this time, it was merit. And that was agency discretion. Now there are some guidelines as to what we could do based on the legislation, but that is how, in a nutshell, that's how that worked. I hope that helped.
Yes, thank you. All right, does that help us move back to the issue of the prosecuting attorneys, or we still need to have further dialogue amongst ourselves over circuit judges and what their salary?
I've been looking at this wheel again, and correct me for those of you in the audience, in looking at the wheel, I am analyzing the Court of Appeals in all the states seems to rank better than the final appellate court. Would I be accurate in stating that?
I believe that's correct.
In relative terms within each state.
Yes.
So that the Court of Appeals, as compared to the Supreme Court or the trial court, seems to rank lower or better than the others. Okay. I was looking at what I see now is that Arkansas, between the Court of Last Resort and the appellate court and the trial court, there's 9 to 10 points difference. And looking at Georgia actually is a little worse off. It has 12 points, even though Georgia is 28th. So in looking at all of these, there seems to be most of them, even when they're ranking lower, like 49, 50, and 31 for Kansas, Kentucky, and Louisiana, actually their trial bench is in the same category too, even though the Court of Appeals does better. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And I was just curious about the states around us. Missouri is more even among its benches, and Mississippi has a difference just one, and so does North Carolina and Oklahoma. South Carolina is interesting. It's number six for trial bench, number seven for Court of Appeals, and only 12 for the Supreme Court. So, you know, I don't know that we can draw a conclusion as to a standard, is what I'm trying to say, of what the right ratios are between the different levels of court. And I just wanted to be sure that I'm interpreting that properly.
Could I maybe make
sure, comment? Sure. Please comment and speak into the record.
And I'm Rita Gruger. I'm the Chief Judge for the Arkansas Court of Appeals. And I think you're right. I mean, these figures are all over the boards on this thing, and it's hard to, it's kind of like the old saying, it's hard to compare apples and oranges because it's all so different. But just for example, most states have a greater spread between what the salary is for the each level of the judiciary, whereas we have less of that in Arkansas, which was one of the issues that our court had earlier with the Judicial Council. But I think your other comments are certainly on point, that that definitely we have some challenges in regard to where our Supreme Court is on salaries. And then it appears that our circuit courts are doing relatively well compared to the rest of the country, mainly because we have a lower cost of living here in Arkansas.
Right. Well, I just hope that does. It looks like, though, compared to the letter sent in May, the Supreme Court has lost. I mean, it was at 26, and now it's at 30.
Correct.
Has lost some ground. So that it was like 8 points difference, and now it's 10 with the Court of Appeals. Would that be, am I reading that right?
I think you're right, but I do still think that we have an issue as far as the differentiation between, like, for example,
the trial bench and the appellate bench.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not, right. That wasn't what I was addressing.
But I do agree with the other
yeah.
point.
Okay, made. Thanks.
Are there any, can I help with anything else?
That's all I needed. I don't know.
Let me ask this question. What before we go to Justin. As I recall, you were here for a lot of the dialogue and discussion between the last commission. Not that that in and of itself is relevant to what we do today, but it's certainly relevant as to the factors we consider. We narrowed it in the end, as I recall, to five contiguous states that represented in large measure the conditions and makeup of median incomes and all those type factors. Were you here for that?
I actually was not here.
Okay. All right. Your wheel should show that there were probably five states in which we narrowed, because you couldn't compare any of these folks to what they're given in New York City.
No.
Can't compare them to what they're given in Las Vegas. Yet what we try to do is compare them to what's going on in the states that are surrounding us that have somewhat near of the median income and other conditions that we're required to consider by our constitutional mandate. And that's how we chose those factors, and that's how we chose to set, that doesn't mean they're all correct, but that's how we chose to set these other salaries. So
well,
I don't know whether that's helps or just more.
Do you recall those states?
Huh?
Do you recall which states that was?
Missouri was one, Mississippi was one. Ms. Jenkins, do you require a recall? Or?
I may have it.
I know it's a box.
Louisiana.
Well, I might point out that on this handout we have this wheel, the salaries are listed on the back.
Right.
And circuit judges, if that's the third column, which it appears it is, the circuit judges are substantially more being paid substantially more than the surrounding states. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I'm reading this chart.
So, Ms. County Lake, could you read from your chart? You have a baseline you're looking at from other surrounding states, and I don't have that here, but would you read those off for the judges or the justices, the number there, and if you have it for the constitutional officers and the General Assembly, could you read that to me?
What I'm looking at is just the judges. I don't have anything about the other constitutional officers.
Well, you know, it seemed like to me, Mr. Chairman, that kind of going back to what Maine Evers said earlier is that where we have certain things tied to the justice, I mean the judges, yes, we need to, you know, first decide what we're going to do there, but to do that, we must understand what our charge is, the methodology we're wanting to start moving those up to a more competitive base is one of those, and then the second would be over what period of time we want to do that, or is that not what we're trying to do? And that would then apply for each one of the others also. We've got to have some kind of, or formulate some kind of guidance as to what it is that we're wanting to do. Cost of living increases, or, you know, we've had it in major inflation for some time, so those are pretty easy to talk about. But I just want to make sure that I understand what our charge is, other than just the annual increase or the annual review. What does it take? Excuse me.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
So as I'm understanding it, we're already 10 years behind on our compensation of our judges. So we're looking for a catch up then plus COLA increases and normal salary increases. I would like to propose too that Arkansas set the standard. I understand and appreciate looking at what other states surrounding us are doing, but I think that our judges have served us well and continue to serve us well at every level. And I think that we should carefully consider making our judges at least whole in competitive situations and then moving forward with the correct amount of COLA increases.
This is yes, this is Chuck. I appreciate your remarks. Let me correct this part if I understood your remarks correctly. We're not 10 years behind on judges' salary. We were trying to bring them up from 10 years of not receiving the increase in salary at that point in time. So that's the only part of your remarks that I heard that I didn't
think was accurate. All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure I thought I heard that, but I'm glad I didn't.
But that happened in 2015, as I understand the earlier comments. The 10-year catch-up happened in 15.
15 or 17, I can't remember. 15 was the first year we met. Yeah, it was 17 before we finally got to that, when we were looking at all these. Yeah. But that's good enough for discussion. And let me make this suggestion, if it's helpful. If it's not, disregard it, because my suggestions aren't any better than anybody else's. If we think that this standard that needs to be better clarified of what we did then, not to reinvent the wheel, I don't suggest we go back and do that again, because it was long and laborious and a lot of time spent on it. That doesn't mean it's correct. What I would suggest, though, is that we get Ms. Jenkins and others to pick out the five states and give a summary, if you will, and maybe you've already done that, of what was done then, so we can decide at the next meeting, we don't have to do it today, that that's a standard that's applicable today that you want to follow, or you want to tweak it, or you want to throw it out and do your own standard that this commission intends to follow. And what we want to do here is no one should come here with a preconceived notion of I'm here to increase salaries or to cut salaries, regardless of what you hear or see. Thoroughness and fairness and accuracy is what we're, as we all know, that's what we're searching for here. Mm-hmm. And so speed is not the, it's not the issue. So I just throw it out for your discussion of what we should or should not do.
This is Nate again. I would like to ask this question. Depending on what we do about salary increases, when will they be effective? Will they be retro? Will they be effective next pay period, next fiscal year?
We would do a resolution today, which is almost a vote. It's a vote to form a resolution saying what we want done, and there's a period of not more than 45 days for public comment, people to come in who read or listened or have something to say about this. And there's some that do, for sure. Come in and present their comments to this commission. And then I think 10 days after that, it becomes a law, but once that we file it with the auditor of the final recommendation. So we've got time. We're not under any rush here to do anything today that troubles you.
In going to Nathan, what you were looking on the back of the sheet in terms of the tracker, it's interesting to note if you compare Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee. We could add Oklahoma if you wanted to, but I'm looking at those, and when you compare the Arkansas Supreme Court and the Intermediate Court, there's 10 ranks difference, meaning the Court of Appeals is ranked 20, the Arkansas Supreme Court's ranked 30. When you look at Louisiana, there's 6, but it's a positive. I mean, it's a negative again. Supreme Court 31, and the Intermediate Court 25. And Mississippi has the same issue, it's 7. And then you get to Missouri and the Supreme Court is ranked better than the Court of Appeals. In other words, it's a +2. And then Tennessee, the Supreme Court is ranked lower in salary than so you've got a trend here in our surrounding states, and I don't know that we should follow that, is what I'm saying. A trend around our surrounding states, except for one, which is Missouri. That in looking at the balance between the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals, the Court of Appeals has a little better ranking. Now, when you get between, and I think this is what Judge Gruber was talking about, when you get between the Intermediate Court and the Trial Court, in Arkansas, you can see that the Intermediate Appellate Court is ranked 20, whereas the General Jurisdiction Court is ranked 21. And so that means you've got a very little spread between intermediate appellate and trial court. Yet in Louisiana, you've got a 5-point spread. You've got an 8-point spread for Mississippi. You've got a 5-point spread for Missouri. And you've got a 2-point spread. And it's all a positive spread, meaning the Court of Appeals is making more in terms of the rankings than the trial court. And I think we need to look at that because that has an effect on whether we have trial judges decide to run for the appellate courts. In other words, if you're making $168,000 as a trial judge and you only make $169,000 mm-hmm. as a court of appeals judge, what's the impetus other than status?
What were the two numbers again?
Right now in Arkansas,
just those two.
The intermediate appellate court is 169,672, which is a 20 ranking.
Yeah.
And the trial court is 168,096. So we're not even talking about $1,000 difference.
So, and I know it's premature.
Yeah.
Just because of my inability to follow simple math. What would you say that the numerical dollar amount difference is based upon your analogy, an example there? In other words, how far apart are we between circuit judges and appellate judges?
We're only $1,000.
Well, $1,600 between the two
between
that we talked
two.
About, and between them and the Supreme Court, it's only $6,000.
Right.
Well.
Okay.
And I'm not thinking of as in connection with Tommy Mays's concerns about constitutional officers and others. I'm only looking at this in terms of
right.
the balance within the third branch of government.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would like. Apparently, this was not done before, and those comments are very telling. But I would like to suggest that we do a compilation of all the states by state, by position, to the extent that you can, the meaning, the prosecuting attorneys, the judges, the constitutional officers, and judges. To the extent that we can, so you got the individual by state, but you got a compilation average. And then I would like for us to determine our objectives. If our objective is to bring these to the market, so to speak, then that's define what that is. If it's simply the average, that's what we should shoot for. And so we could be establishing a guideline for others following this history. I think that's what Terrence Derrick mentioned a moment ago. And then I believe we ought to evaluate this and whatever we might do. We need to try to establish a pretty quick, coming together, maybe once a week or 3 weeks.
Say that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chairman, but it seems like the roadmap somewhat was developed whenever this commission started and the salaries and everything were set. I think all that research was done at that time. And I think our job is to kind of carry that on. And let me know if I'm misunderstanding that.
No, I don't think so. I can understand where he's coming from, but my concern would be is that if we go back and start making a comparison state by state, that's a lot of work. That doesn't mean it's not necessary work, but and things can be too simplistic for me, I suppose. But we don't have any concerns at what eight of the different entities that were constitutionally mandated even take a look at. They're not asking for more. No one's asking that they be turned down. No one from the legislature has come over and said this salary is too high, or too low. There's been nothing input here to suggest there's any more than three entities that really are requiring serious analysis. And we, I don't mind doing it. I mean, I'm not trying to say just because it's a burden on my mind we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying let's don't make complicated what's not complicated. Let's just take what we've got and use it. Everybody's on here because you're pretty sophisticated people and you understand money and you understand the world you come from and you live in. So that's not to suggest, Tommy, that you're not exactly right. I like your analysis. I'm just saying we do have a standard of some sort. And the standard was, let's look at five states contiguous to us, and let's look at every conceivable analysis of mathematics and income and standards and standard of living, et cetera, that we can have, and then make our best decisions. That doesn't mean that those decisions are correct. They need to be looked at again. But I wouldn't go that far, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, we already have the judiciaries. Information state by state, so that we already have, and the prosecutors at this point are tied to the judicial salaries. So in that sense we have the information we need, at least for those positions. Now if you want to go on to constitutional officers and general assembly members, you know, I'm willing to, since they didn't come and advocate for a change, I guess I'm assuming they're fine with what was set previously. And obviously, I come from a world of the judiciary where if you silence is golden. If you don't come and speak for yourself that and say you want something different, then I'm gonna make the assumption you're fine with what has been in the past and whatever we do for, I'm not going to, merit raises, or whatever you want to call that.
I concur with that. It's common sense tells us that, you know, we've got some things that do not need to be looked at this point in time.
Well, I would still like to understand. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
I just want to make sure that I personally understand, you know, our direction. If there has already been a roadmap established for what we are to do, then that's fine. So if that's the case, we ought to be able to just follow that. But I don't detect that that's the case. And again, whether we're doing the circuit judges or whether we're doing the circuit judges is the baseline that we need to get because the prosecutor's tied to it. All that's good. But if say the state or does not come, or the constitutional officers not come and advocate for an increase, I still think it's our responsibility to decide whether, you know, whether we need to do something or don't need to do something, because if they're significantly below the baseline in a couple of years from now, then we're going to have to be playing catch up. And so I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Tom. Nathan, Mr. Everett, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that based on what we've been told today and the way I understand it, there was decisions made 2 or 3 years ago to get things kind of brought in line with surrounding areas and to be competitive and so forth. And that being the case, I don't know whether that we need to go back and go through that process again. And as far as the constitutional officers are concerned, you know, if the governor decided that 2.4% was what was fair for the various agencies, then I think that's a reasonable amount for us to use to consider the adjustments for the other salaries that we're responsible for, other than the justices and the judges.
Commissioner Zimmerman, or can you comment?
Commissioner Zimmerman, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Go ahead.
Would you share your comments? I want to hear what you have to say about what's been said, especially the last thing was said by Mr. Evers, Commissioner Evers.
Well, as I said, and I've had a hard time hearing some of the comments, but as we consider the charge in front of us, I think, A, our commission needs a little bit more information that we're gathering. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that the wheel needs to be reinvented. I think there's certain standards in front of us, but I also think our judiciary has done an outstanding job in Arkansas and have been very patient with budget considerations for our state through the last 10 years. So I think as a commissioner, I feel it's incumbent upon us to give careful and detailed study, but I don't think that we have to make it hard on ourselves by considering a national standard. I think that we have to look back and see what we're charged with within our states, but giving consideration to our judiciary in having, as Justice Tuck said, the different in trial court judges, as well as the Court of Appeals, as well as the Supreme Court standard. So with all of that, I guess my point is, I'd like for us to be a standalone state and let other people follow what we're doing in fair compensation for our judiciary in their compensation.
Thank you very much. I'm going to, any comments from the people here that are here today? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to entertain a motion without trying to make the motion that puts our decision to vote today on what's been said until the next meeting. And in the interim, we fashion information based upon what we've talked about today and whatever this motion is going to say that narrows the information we're looking for a standard that fits what we're dealing with here now.
Exactly.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will somebody put that, Justice? Could you put that in the form of a motion, please?
If I understand the idea correctly.
We're narrowing it down.
We're narrowing.
New standard, look at it. We're going to hold this vote in abeyance until the next meeting until people had a fair opportunity to study and understand what we're doing today. Is that fairly stated?
Yes, and I would make a motion to that effect.
I will second that motion.
I second.
All right, now, Robert's Rules of Order. You still have an opportunity to discuss the motion and second that's on the floor. Tommy, do you have it? I'm sorry, Keith. That's all I know you about. Tommy, do you have anything else that you want to offer pertinent to the motion that's on the floor?
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to you. I'm sorry.
No, I don't have anything. Apparently, I don't see or don't understand. You know, I didn't want to reinvent the wheel, but I apparently there's some standards that are out there that I need to look at. But I have nothing to add to the motion.
Okay, thank you. I think you're going to see, I think the whole commission will see a little more clearly what this motion envisions with Ms. Jenkins and her.
We'll need to make a, we'll need to do a request to legislative or Bureau of Research for them
we'll
to
that.
Do the research.
We'll do that. Once we get the Bureau of Research on it and Ms. Jenkins and her highly skilled team, you'll see more simplicity of what we're trying to talk about by way of statistical information from contiguous states. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really talking about here. We're going to focus on what needs to be focused on and get that information to the commission as a whole so people can then make their decision that they're comfortable with about what they want to do. Is that fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other discussion?
We need to clarify what it is exactly that y'all want from Bureau Research. Y'all want to use the same five states that they used last time?
Yeah.
Yes, the same five states.
Same information?
Do you want the exact same information
yes.
that they gave you for
yes.
all of these?
Yes.
Because we already have the judicial in front of us.
Right.
We
right.
don't need that.
Right.
Okay.
But it's the others, the constitutional officers and the general assembly.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion?
We also see the where the main sorry the where the main when the adjustment was made. Can you see that those numbers?
It's all on the website.
It's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I overlooked it.
Anybody else?
I can see
then that. Given. The motion that was just passed, the general discussion, the presentation of information from our guests that are attending today, I will entertain a motion to adjourn and reset our next meeting for a date certain. Is there any reason why we can't adjourn since we now know we are not going to go forward with any definitive vote or resolution?
Motion.
Okay, calendar's out. Well, better vote on it. Well, no, we don't adjourn. We get to put the calendar.
Did y'all vote on that first motion?
No, they
haven't. You need to do all in favor for the first motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Okay. Oh.
I think the question probably needs to be answered first, how long it will take them to get this information together that we've asked for.
I don't know.
I would say give them 6 weeks and that
okay.
ought to be more than enough time.
Okay.
If for some reason that it's not, I mean, that we had that type of information before in 6 weeks or less. If not, then we'll contact the commission as a whole and reset another date. I'm looking at 6 to 7 to 8 weeks out from the day. That will put us, I'd like to get back here before the end of October.
Agreed.
Right.
Oh. Well, I'll assume that none of y'all are leaf peepers, so you don't want to get it in October at the wrong days. But anyway, no, I'm joking. I'm looking at 14th, 15th, or 16th of October.
That's only 5 weeks, Chair.
Five. All right, then I'm looking at the 28th, 29th, or 30th of October.
All fine with me.
All fine with me.
28th,
29th, or 30th, and I'm going. What'd you say?
What did you say?
I'm saying October 30th.
October 28, 29, or 30.
Okay, hold on.
She's checking.
And in particular, while you're checking, zero in on the 29th.
How about?
Look at the 29th.
No, for the
29th.
30th is good.
30th is good, she said.
Okay.
October 30th?
30th good by all of us.
Fine with me.
Fine with me.
All right. All in favor of the 30th at 10 o'clock, say aye.
Is that good for you, Tommy? Okay, we'll go ahead and set it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, have we passed the motions that we need to pass, and all we need now is a motion and a declaration of vote to adjourn?
So we have a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
We need a second.
Well, then somebody vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any other comments? Meeting is adjourned.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
So you guys are essentially asking the Bureau for National
Cure. I think he already, yeah, he hung up because he had to go at 11.
Did we do that?